This past weekend, dozens of local gamers gathered on Overland and Boise to play games nobody had ever played before. They were testing prototypes of the types of games we played before they were programmed as code. They were testing board games, card games, and these role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons. The testing took place at All About Games. That's a store that specializes in non-electronic games. Owner Ken Somerville says players enjoy the face-to-face competition and social interaction that can't be found just by playing video games. And joining us to talk about that process of developing and marketing new games is Ken Somerville and game developer Kevin Gordon. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ken, what makes for a truly great, engaging game that people just want to play over and over and over?
I think you want to have something that kind of stretches your mind, a little strategy, you know, some tactics, but isn't an all-day event.
Right. And we certainly know some of those. The game Risk comes to mind. But these are the classics. You can find them in department stores. Sorry, Monopoly, Yahtzee, Clue. Are those games big sellers for you?
They are continually sold, kind of, but it doesn't really surprise me because it's what everyone grew up on. And unless you're exposed to something new, your parents show you the games they played, and then you play them, and then you show your kids that. There wasn't a huge variety of games until like the last couple of decades. I mean, now we've got 1,000 games that come out every year.
1,000 games every year. Well, these fly below a lot of people's radar. Kevin, we know some of these are role-playing games, and if you're of a certain age, you know people that played or knew someone who liked Dungeons & Dragons, that cult-like following of that game in the 70s and 80s. But how are today's games different from those Parker Brothers board games?
There's a whole new cross-section of board games that a lot of people just haven't heard about. There's the hobby board games. They go under very, very heavy playtesting while they're in development to make sure that everything's balanced and make sure that there's enough strategy in it to keep players engaged and make sure that over multiple playthroughs that it will continue to be fun. Games like Agricola is always a very popular game that has lots of choices.
I'm sorry, tell me the name again.
Agricola.
Agricola.
Yeah, it's a game about farming, which, believe it or not, is extremely fun, and it's very popular. Lots of people play it, and it's just it keeps people coming back again and again.
So it's a little bit of a choose-your-own-adventure to it. There's different pathways this game can take you?
Sure. You have a kind of a family of workers, and you send them out to do different jobs, and that's how you progress and get points, is by sending your people out to do what you need them to do to get points.
We're speaking with Ken Somerville, owner of All About Games, and game developer Kevin Gordon. We'd like to hear from you. What are some of your new game favorites? You can communicate with us via email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We have a conversation going on Twitter with the hashtag IdahoMatters. I wanted to ask Ken about the fantasy element in these games. These aren't just casual games where you can, roll the dice, walk up and get a drink and come back. These are immersive, oftentimes, very immersive, and demand your full attention.
They do. I mean, if you're playing Dungeons & Dragons or a role-playing game, somebody's spent the time to world build, and you spend hours and hours working on your character, fleshing it all out, backstory, details, and you get really into your character and into the immersive elements of that. A board game, you're kind of like focusing, narrowing down onto, okay, what is happening right here? I've got to send my family out to collect the food and, or plant the seeds and harvest the food so I can feed them at the end of the season. And I'm kind of get really focused on making sure I do that.
So, Ken, you talk about people who spend the time to world build. Well, game developer Kevin Gordon, you've done that. What goes into creating a really great game?
Honestly, a lot of time, a lot of hard work, and a lot of play testing. That's the big key, and that's why the prototype nights that All About Games has been running for the past year have been so good for me personally. I've been developing my board game Radical 80s Arcade now for several years, and it takes a lot of different people playing the game over and over again to find out what works, what doesn't work, what people enjoy, what people dislike about it, And just continuous playtesting is the key to developing a good strategy board game.
One of the members of our Idaho Matters team spent some time with you all this weekend. And what do you learn from that testing, that playing and repeat playing? What do you take away as a developer?
Mainly, I look for things that the players find enjoyable. That's the main reason I board game personally, is to have fun with it. If there's a part of the game that is not fun, I try to eliminate it or change it in a way so that it is fun. For example, I've had a core group of friends that have been playtesting my game over the last few years, and it was only within the last year or so that they finally told me there was one important part that they have disliked for quite a while. It took a while to get that out of them, but that part has since been eliminated. It's no longer part of the game, and the game is better because of that.
You know, how do you tell that great story, keep people engaged, and not be too overly complicated or convoluted? I imagine that's a challenge.
Right. You need to make sure the rules are approachable. But at the same time, it has to have some sort of gameplay depth to it to keep people coming back. So it's a tough balance to strike. Make sure that the game is engaging, but not overly complicated. That might scare some people away.
Again, that's game developer Kevin Gordon. We're also joined by Ken Somerville. He owns the shop All About Games. And so, Ken, how do you find out about new games? Is there a big Las Vegas convention that happens for table game developers?
There's actually two large conventions I go to. One happens to be in Las Vegas in March. It's called GAMMA, for the Game Manufacturers Association. The other large one I attend is every year is in Essen, Germany. And that's always in the fall, in October. And last year when I attended, it's a four-day event, Thursday through Sunday. Over 1,018 brand new games were released at that event. And this Essen Spiel attracts people from all over the world, and whole families will travel across Europe to kind of use it as a holiday or as a vacation. I'll see a whole family sitting down, learning to play a brand new game.
One of our listeners, William, just contacted us to say one of his favorites is a new game called Boss Master. I don't know if that rings a bell.
Boss Monster, maybe.
Boss Monster. I'm sorry. I picked that up wrong. So do you see trends in games, themes, Kevin? Like World War I, World War II, fantasy, trolls, railroads?
Sure. Fantasy and sci-fi have kind of been staples in the industry for a while, and you'll always see new games about those two genres. Ken and I were talking before the show about how role-playing games have kind of made a comeback because of the way pop culture is going these days, especially the show Stranger Things has made things from the 80s cool again. And so things will maybe go away, then come back. But like I said, you always have those staples like sci-fi and fantasy that are always going to be popular.
You'll always see those elves and orcs.
Always elves and orcs, according to Ken. So it wouldn't be a public radio interview without me telling you that in 2017, the video game industry brought in $36 billion in revenue. That's more than film and music combined. There are advanced degrees for folks working in this industry. So still, people come back to play tabletop games. So what do people get from this feeling of playing a tabletop game that they can't or don't get from a video game?
Well, I think one of the big things is you're getting actually social interaction. You're face-to-face interaction. You're sitting down at a table with, you know, 3 to 6 friends around a table, having a strategic time, but you're still having a conversation, and it's just an enjoyable time. It's each event or each game is like maybe 60 minutes to an hour, or an hour to 2 hours.
An hour to 2 hours is the average stay. So you're developing a game, Kevin Gordon, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, I bet what was Trans-Pacific Trading like in the early 19th century? I bet people would love that theme. How do you pick these themes? They seem so outlandish. You said Agricola earlier.
Right. For my game in particular, like it was Radical 80s Arcade. I was the first game I've ever tried to design. I picked that theme because I think the 80s are awesome, and I think they need to stay awesome forever. And I had wanted to dabble in game design for some time, and that was a game that I wanted to play that didn't exist yet. So I decided the best choice for me was to try and make it myself. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great experience getting that play tested and streamlined and getting to where it is today.
And would you still play one of those classic games at home with the family? And if so, which one? Clue, Parcheesi, Yahtzee, Risk?
If my kids came up and said, "Dad, I really want to play Monopoly," I will sit down and play with them. Then I'll sit there and try and introduce some other games. It's like, okay, you like that? Then maybe you'll like Settlers of Catan or some other new game.
I love it that you use it as a teaching moment. You may like Monopoly, but we've got some updates.
Right.
We're talking to Mr. Somerville, the owner of All About Games, Kevin Gordon, a game designer, and we're talking about what's popular today and different trends. What about other themes that kind of flash through our pop culture like wildfire, like Star Wars? Does that pick up gaming things, or are there licensing issues there?
There are licensing. It tends to... you can get the license. It tends to cost a bit more, and so you'll see those games with a slightly higher price tag versus a similar type game that doesn't have Star Wars on the cover.
So there are, knockoff versions of these popular themes.
Right. I mean, you may see – in fact, Monopoly is one. You can buy Monopoly for like $10, but if you want to buy the Star Wars-themed Monopoly, which plays exactly the same – it'll cost you $40.
All About Games. We still want to hear from you. You can let us know at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Ken Somerville, the owner of All About Games. Kevin Gordon, a game designer. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.